Well, we have some interesting texts this morning to look at, texts that we don't always like, and that's okay. It took me a long time to realize that I don't have to like everything in the Bible. Doesn't mean that the Bible's wrong, it just means that I have likes and dislikes, like everyone. But the two parts we're looking at are going to be out of Jonah and then into our gospel lesson. And in Jonah, we have the familiar story. This is long after the fish part. This is where Jonah has gone into Nineveh at last, doing what God has said, and called the people of Nineveh to repent and change their ways. And then, much to Jonah's, dislike, they listen. And they change. And they completely turn their ways from where they were to somewhere new. And Jonah says, in one of the most understandable, if hardly the most flattering statements in Scripture, "Take away my life, it's better for me to die than to live, because I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to take these people who I hate, these Ninevites who have oppressed my people, and you were going to be gracious. What's the point of even being alive?" Well, then God provides an object lesson, a physical representation of some useful things for Jonah by making this plant grow up, giving him some shade as Jonah is sitting there steaming in the desert looking down at Nineveh not being destroyed. And gives him some shade, and then it dies. And then once again, Jonah, speaking rather provocatively, is saying, "Well, I may as well just be dead. What's the point?" And God says, "What are you talking about? You didn't make the thing grow. Why didn't you enjoy it when it was there? And now that it's not here, it's just part of what happens. And you are angry that more than 120,000 people who can't tell their right hand from their left and a bunch of other things too weren't killed." Well, when we put it that way, it's not quite as flattering, and it wasn't very flattering before. And we run into a very similar thing in our gospel lesson. And we have one of Jesus' parables. And the parables of Jesus tend to be short and snappy. This one reminds me as much as anything of an O. Henry story. I don't know if any of you have read the stories of O. Henry. They always have sort of a twist at the end. And this one definitely has a twist at the end where, just to remind us, we have a bunch of people being hired by a landowner to do some work. And he hires them at various points of the day. And at the end of the day, goes to pay them, and he starts at those who started last and gives them a day's pay and works his way up and gives the people who worked from the very beginning the same amount as the people who came last. And they're angry because, and this is where the sermon title comes from, but they don't deserve it. We worked harder than them. Why are they getting the same? And I think all of us have a certain amount of resonance with this idea. We're going to be baptizing twins shortly. And having had twins of my own who are now 27, proving that you can survive twins, and they will thrive. The first few years of having twins, you go back and look at the pictures, and they always look fine, and we always look like we're, I don't know, have the flu or something. Yeah, we're just completely exhausted for those first few years. But one of the things that you will learn, or perhaps you won't, I don't know, what I had to learn about having twins is to respond to the, "That's not fair. Someone doesn't deserve it." And with twins, there's a temptation that we faced to treat them the same. Because that's what fair is. Fair is the same. Fair is that everybody gets the same thing. But that's not necessarily justice. It's not necessarily what's right. Because as our twins grew and as they developed their own personalities, they didn't like the same things all the time. So giving both of them the same thing might have been good for one, but not as good for the other. Was that still fair? Well, I suppose so. But was it just? Was it right? Was it the best thing to do? Well, no. And that's when I began to become very leery, very suspicious of the word fair. We hear it often. And it's not always the right word that we should be using. And one of the things that has always helped me with this story is that when I read it, and when I first heard it when I was a sort of old enough to understand what was going on and had actually moved into a meaningful faith in God. I found it very frustrating until somebody pointed out to me that, you know, you're one of the people who came last. You're not one of the people who was there from the beginning of the day. And I thought, wait a second, really? Well, what makes me think, and in particular me, because I, as my people have been with me for all these years, know that I spent my first 25 years or so not anywhere near the kind of person who might one day end up here preaching. So I didn't start at the beginning of the day. I was towards the end. And when we look at it that way, fair becomes less important. At least it did to me. And when we look at this story, instead of looking at it from the perspective of what's fair and what's not in a crass and financial sort of way, and we look at it instead from the perspective of the landowner who says, didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Did I treat you badly? Well, no. If the landowner chooses to treat somebody else with grace and with generosity, how does that affect me in a negative way? And what it does is it reminds me of a statement that's going around that you may have heard, that for those with privilege, equality feels like oppression. And that's what these people are feeling like. That they are feeling that they are oppressed because somebody else got what they got. Not that they got less than they were expecting, but that somebody else got something that they got. And the more I spent time with this story, the less attractive it became. And it seems especially suitable on a day when we celebrate baptism. Because one of the many things we celebrate in baptism is the reminder that God always reaches out to us first. God always reaches out to us before we can do anything for God. Our baptismal candidates today are four years rather than 4 days or 4 weeks or 4 months. These things happen. Our twins were baptized, they were 3 or 4 months old. Our youngest was baptized. Well, they remember their baptism. It's their only memory of John Ferrier. They're baptized here. Seven or so. Whatever it is, what it's reminding us is that God reaches out to us before we can do a thing for God, because that's who God is. God is not interested in fair. God is interested in justice and grace. And grace, as we've said before, is the unmerited favor of God. It's the unearned favor of God. And a baby, a 4-year-old, a 26-year-old, a 61-year-old can't earn God's favor. Because it's not about earning. It's about receiving. And what we're doing today in the baptism is we're going to say, God has reached out to you by giving you parents who have brought you here today, and grandparents and people around you who love you, that you might be a member of this congregation, a member of the larger church, because God loves you. Not because of what you do, but simply because you are. God's grace reaches out to us from before we can even respond. And then God's grace enables us to respond when that time comes. God's grace is everything. And this story is a reminder that God's grace is everything, because there's grace the whole way through. If you take the landowner's part in the story, maybe you think, okay, if you're that ungrateful to the people who began it, start of the day, maybe you'll only give them half of what you said. It's the landowner, it's their money, they can do with what they want. But the landowner does what they said they would do and then does more besides. And that's the God we serve, is a God who does what God says and more besides. And that starts from our very earliest moments of existence. God reaches out to us enables us to reach back to God when the time comes. And through all of this is doing more than we have earned, doing more than is fair, because God is filled with love and grace, not just fair. Amen.